Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
There's been some emotional infidelity that may have gone too far. Because of that, I have really bad trust issues now. That personnel that's constantly looking over, seeing what she's doing on the phone, just there's just a lack of trust on my end with her now. And that's something that I just really need to heal upon too. Especially now with, you know, a new baby coming in, you know, we want this to be as healthy as possible now. And it's just something that I really need to work on. Just, I forgive her, but there's still that hurt that's there.
Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk. It is February, which means our couples therapy sessions are rolling back out. I'm so excited about these on-air conversations with real-life couples. We're pulling back the curtain on marriage and showing you the raw, real, authentic side that's going on behind the scenes in everyday life. These courageous couples are joining me on the podcast to talk about their relationship, their struggles, and ways they want to strengthen their marriage. So join us this month of February for Couples on Air Therapy. Here we go. Today on the podcast, I'm excited to have Amanda and Tim from Pennsylvania. It's good to have you guys, fellow Pennsylvanians.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So you were telling me, Amanda, that we met recently at a conference in Pennsylvania called She Is.
Yes, She Is in Indiana, PA. That was my second year going. The previous year, I went and saw some speakers, but you spoke at this conference this year.
Well, I'm so glad we got to meet and now we get to connect and do this couples therapy together. I mean, you probably didn't know what you were getting yourself into when you met me back in October, huh?
No, I didn't think that this was going to be a part of it.
Well, I'm so glad it worked out. Okay, so tell me a little bit about you guys as a couple. Tim, why don't you tell us a little bit about you as a couple. How long have you been married? Do you have children? Just give us a quick summary of who you guys are.
Yes. We've been married for 10 years, been together for 12. We have two children, a 6 and 8 year old. And we did just find out that there's another on the way. So that was a big Christmas surprise.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're expecting end of August. 2020.
Wow. And that was an unexpected surprise.
But, you know, just really one of, you know, God's blessings because we suffered a miscarriage back in September of 2022. So, yes. definitely a great, great surprise.
That's so exciting. Our fourth was our unexpected surprise. And he just turned 3 yesterday. And I was just thinking, oh, thank you. I was just thinking, I can't believe if it was up to us, we wouldn't have had him.
Yeah. Right.
So God truly knows best and can lead and direct our path. So I'm thankful to hear that you guys are allowing him to. That's so exciting. Yeah. Okay, so talk me through why such a happy looking couple. Your picture, I see your beautiful family photo in the background with a bunch of dogs.
Well, they have sent, we had to put them down.
Yeah, they have passed since then.
Aww.
And they're not sold currently.
You're so, but you're a animal family.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And you've got beautiful children and, you know, tell me, you know, from the outside in, all of us kind of look at each other's marriages and we're like, well, look at their life and look at their beautiful Christmas card and their family and everyone's smiling. But we all know the truth that behind the scenes, marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. And we're two individuals who are working towards healing, dealing with baggage, dealing with trauma, trying to be the best that we can be, but truly relationships are a mirror to the worst parts of us. So what is it that brought you into couples therapy?
Want me to start?
You can start, yeah.
All right. Well, about 2 summers ago, I would say just there's been some emotional infidelity that may have gone too far on 4 separate occasions. Because of that, I have really bad trust issues now. That personnel that's constantly looking over, seeing what she's doing on the phone, just there's just a lack of trust on my end with her now. And that's something that I just really need to heal upon to, especially now with the child coming into the, with, you know, a new baby coming in. You know, we want this to be as healthy as possible now. And it's just something that I really need to work on. Just, and I think just some, I forgive her, but there's still that hurt that's there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of dealing with that process.
Yeah. So it's been over 2 years.
Yeah, actually, it probably started back in 2015 after I had my first daughter and, I was hospitalized with postpartum depression, anxiety, and partial psychosis.
Wow.
Really big, ordeal.
That is a very big ordeal. I mean, postpartum depression and anxiety are common. For it to get to postpartum psychosis, a lower percentage of women go through that, although it's probably much more common than we realize. So it got to a point where you had to be hospitalized.
Yes. And she was 6 months old at the time.
Oh, wow. That's important to note. I think some people think that, oh, it's been 8 weeks. What's going on? This must be something else. But yeah, the postpartum fog, upheaval can last even beyond the first year. So, okay. So that was going on for you then.
Yes. So when I was hospitalized, it was a co-ed behavioral health unit at a local hospital. And an incident happened there, just some flirting between a guy and myself. And that kind of is what it started, this emotional infidelity, and then picked up, you know, a couple years ago. So
when you say started, do you mean it started the, like, something inside of you of like, this feels good?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then how long did that, after that first incident in 2015, was that like a very brief situation or did that last long?
It was brief. What ended up happening, she was in the ward with him She asked me, she ended up being in there, I believe it was 10 days.
10 days.
She asked me, and what was funny, she was so honest with me while she was in there. And she asked me if she would be able to hang out with this person outside once, because he had a kid also. And, you know, I thought it was strange, and I called up the nurse's station, the triage or whatever it is. Started talking to them and just asked, you know, is this something common? I don't know where this is going. And then we started talking, and, you know, I told her that the nurses told me that that isn't recommended. And she kind of had a little bit of a meltdown. And I asked her, I'm like, do you have feelings for this guy? And she said, yeah. And at that, that was a point where it stopped right there. Like, once we got to that point, and I did talk to the psychologist on the floor, because I was pretty upset about everything. You know, I didn't know how, being under the hospital's care, how this could have happened. And so I'd say that was the first initial
happening.
Yeah, the emotional.
Now, in your defense, you were in the middle of postpartum depression, anxiety, and psychosis, right? Probably navigating different medications and all kinds of different things. And so we could say that in that first incident, you weren't functioning at your best. Your brain wasn't functioning the way it properly would. Your judgment was probably impaired, as it is when you're struggling with depression, anxiety, and psychosis, right? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it awakened something inside of you that felt good. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this feels good. And then maybe that is what you carried with you into the future, right?
I would think so. Yeah, because there was a break between that and then the past couple years. But there's been times that that I've reached out to ex-boyfriends, you know, through messaging on social media, Facebook, which that was the only social media outlet that I used. But I'm currently on a break from that, and I've been on a break from that since the end of July. That was one of we talked about some things that he wanted me to do, and that was one of them.
We made boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah. And the other one was also to have a neuropsych eval completed, and I have since gotten that completed. And yeah, and I was dealing with some medical issues recently. I just had parathyroid surgery for hyperparathyroidism. So I don't know, you know, the results, because the neuropsych eval was before the surgery. So, but I have three additional diagnoses now. So
as a result of the evaluation.
As a result of the evaluation. So, and now navigating that on top of finding a new medication management.
Sure. And, so what did this neuropsych eval, what did that show? What did you end up being diagnosed with?
So I ended up being diagnosed with OCD, ADHD, and then unspecified bipolar disorder.
Okay. Okay. So now you're trying to navigate what might be, what do you do with all of that, and how do you handle it? And, but you know, to be honest with you, with that type of a history, and all of the postpartum issues and then some of the erratic behavior with affairs, it was really wise to get a psychological evaluation. If I'm seeing a couple with a history of multiple repetitive unhealthy behaviors, and especially when you've got these emotional ups and downs kind of cycled in there as well, that would be the next recommended step. Now, not everybody likes that. I get a lot of pushback. Why do you think I need that? And what does that say about me? And You know, I've had people say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm just in love or this or that. But really, there's something else underneath that's motivating the engine. And they're not even aware that there might be bipolar underneath the surface or ADHD or OCD or depression, anxiety. And all of these things impact your behaviors. So it's really important that you got yourself evaluated and you're working to get on the proper medications.
Yeah.
So you guys already took some big steps in the right direction.
Yeah.
But it, so what I'm hearing is 2015 was kind of the first incident. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not surprising that it kind of lines up with all of the underlying psychological issues that were going on underneath the surface. And then if we say that there's some psychological issues that have continued in different forms, it's not surprising that you've had some of these issues resurface in different seasons now that you're trying to figure out what exactly is going on. So 2015 was the first incident. Tell me the history of patterns of infidelity since then.
I would say from 2015 to 2022, there was a stop. There was a break. We were able to get healed up.
So a 7-year break.
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. Then everything started again in 2022. The one thing I would say about Amanda, she's always honest with me. She always tells me like what's going on. And we're at a level that I can look at her and it's almost like I can read her too. And I know I can see like when the episodes come almost like I can just see it on her face. And I could tell something was off in our relationship. So I asked her what was going on. And it first came as thoughts.
Yeah.
And when I found out about the thoughts, that was probably March of 2022. The thoughts moved in then to her reaching out and texting an ex and another person. And that, when I confronted her, you know, I was very hurt by everything.
You confronted her. Did she not tell you about that?
No, I ended up finding it. We were watching TV and she was on her phone and I asked her what she was doing. And then I grabbed her phone and I saw it was like an ex-boyfriend that she was talking to. And then I found this other person that she was reaching out to. And I'd say that was probably in July. So March is when she told me about the thoughts. July was when I found the acting out on it of 2022. Seemed like everything calmed down.
When you say acting out, what do you mean by that?
By reaching out to these men, just messaging them, okay. Flirting, and flirtatious messages.
Has that been the extent of it?
Up until June, I took our kids to Sesame Land. And Amanda stayed back to basically just get some work done. She had a lot of stuff that she had to get, deadlines that she had to meet for work. She had too much to drink one night, and she did invite somebody over. I found out because the story wasn't adding up, and I kept asking questions when we came back. And when I did find out, I actually did leave. I left for several days, and now it's just with me, it's my head dealing because that's when I told her we need the psych evaluation that we need.
This was June of what year?
This past year, 2023.
And that, okay, so June 23 was when you had this incident, which was probably the most escalated of the incidents. And you had someone over, was there a physical contact?
It almost turned physical.
Almost, but did not. Okay. And then you had the psych eval after that as part of your...
I had that in October of 23.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're basically at a point where you've figured out what's going on underneath the surface. And you're coming up with a plan of how to move forward and maintain these boundaries. Whether or not you realize it, you come into marriage with baggage, things that cause you to act, react, and interact in negative and unhealthy ways. And oftentimes those things are revealed in marriage because marriage acts like a mirror to the worst parts of who you are. But we don't have to stop there because marriage can also be an invitation into deeper healing. In my book, Choosing Marriage, I want to talk to you about the 8 choices you can make today to begin healing your relationships by healing yourself first. We're going to do some real talk about intimacy issues, conflict management, communication hangups, family of origin baggage, personality differences, and so much more to help you become healthy and create a healthy marriage. This book isn't just for married couples. It's also for anyone who wants to get healthy in preparation for marriage. At the end of every chapter, you'll find questions for couples, but also questions for singles to help you get healthy standing alone. We're taking the best of psychology and relationship counseling and pairing it with God's truth in Choosing Marriage, why it has to start with "We is greater than me." If you haven't read it yet, pick up a copy today anywhere books are sold. Boundaries are important. Internal boundaries, external boundaries. But boundaries alone are not enough. You can set up all the boundaries in the world, but if you're not pursuing internal healing, you can find ways around the boundaries, right? Boundaries are helpful, external boundaries, while you're doing the internal work. Boundaries are like the scaffolding that hold the building up while we're doing the repairs, so that when we're done doing the repairs, we don't actually need those boundaries because we're where we need to be internally. But for now, you cannot function without boundaries in collaboration with the work that you're doing on yourself and on your marriage. So this is, you know, what's tricky about these type of situations is you're really working with 3 things. You're working with your health, Amanda, your health, Tim, and then the health of your marriage. Mm-hmm. So tell me what you have done so far. What are you guys doing to figure this out?
So I currently am in therapy with a therapist that I've had probably, I think, since 2019, same therapist, for individual therapy.
Okay.
And then we have tried couples counseling, I don't know for how long. How long was that?
It was about 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, the couples counseling started in 2022, right when everything, I started noticing everything happening with her. I did put a stop to couples counseling this past July, though, just because in my mind, and I know this probably isn't right to think, but in my mind, everything went south once we started couples counseling. It seemed like, and that's when I felt that she needed more work on herself first, because the couples counseling wasn't, if we weren't both in it 100%, it wasn't going to help us.
So when was couples counseling?
That was, I'd say, May of 2022 to what about
July
of 2023.
And in June is when things went south.
Yeah. But like, there would be some points where we were like, okay, with couple, you know, like we were doing fine, or I wouldn't share like as much. I guess I held a lot in, it was secretive, but then our couple, I gave him permission to, but our couples counselor ended up becoming his individual therapist. And I think that's, like I said, yeah, that's fine. But then I got kind of like, well, I felt like, you know, he was on his side with things and just kind of would get through the session and then be done. So
So right now you're doing individual, and then and Tim, and you're not doing couples currently. And how about you, Tim? Are you doing individual?
I am doing individual right now, just to try to control my emotions. We did do couples with one of your counselors, though. And that was an amazing experience. Yeah. We did that about a month ago.
Good. Yeah. Is that kind of the newest thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that something you're planning on continuing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Because you do need to have that in place while you're doing some of the individual work. And I think it's good. You know, some people can handle having the same person who kind of knows everybody's situation for individual and couples. But in other cases, when it's only one of you, it can cause that feeling of, you know, feeling like they're not on your side or they don't understand your perspective. And so if that does happen, it's important to do exactly what you did, which is decide to find somebody who's an objective third party to meet with you. And ideally somebody who has a person of faith that can help guide you in that process as well. Tim, you talked about controlling your emotions. What do you mean by that?
I've always been one. I bury my emotions down. And what's bad is since I do that, when I reach that breaking point, everything just boils over, and it could be something so small that makes me boil over. So that's one of the things I've been trying to do. And I've been trying to talk to her more just about how I'm feeling and how these situations are making me feel, just so I don't reach that boiling point anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it. I mean, I'm very confused by a lot of the stuff that's happening. I don't understand when it comes to these psychological sicknesses. I don't know if you'd call it sickness, mental health. I'm not used to it. Like in my mind, I'm kind of black and white saying, well, if you love me, you wouldn't be doing this. And I know that's not the right thing to say, but it does. I mean, it does make you feel like that. And it does make you feel pretty low on the scale. I mean, during some of these episodes, some pretty hurtful things were said, and it's just having to heal on top of all of that.
Yeah, it is hard. It's a hard journey. And, you know, when it comes to mental illness, there's literally part of your brain that's functioning differently than part of her brain is functioning differently than part of your brain. With even something as basic as ADHD, her frontal lobe is not working in the same way yours is working. It's not as stimulated. It's not as active and alert. And that's the part of your brain that says, hey, don't do that. Think ahead. Think of the consequences. Think of the future. Don't live out of what you feel in this current moment. And when that part of your brain is dulled, it's very hard to function in the same way as somebody who has that part of their brain active. Just like you cannot control your insulin levels if you have diabetes, right? You can't will yourself to have that blood sugar control. But what you can do is be vigilant with your therapy, your treatment, and your medication. That's what you can do. You might not be able to control your frontal lobe activity. Actually, there are some things you can do functionally. Dr. Amen has incredible resources about what you can do functionally to help turn on your brain, and from different supplements and different diets. But ultimately, when you're on medication, it is up to you to take your medication and attend your treatment and therapy diligently. That is what is on you. That is what you can own, Amanda. And so setting boundaries with regards to what are our expectations here in this relationship? How are we going to keep it safe? What are the things we need to do? What do we need to check in on a regular basis and talk through? What boundaries have you set to date? Like, what does it look like? What does your everyday life to date look like to keep your relationship safe?
One of the biggest ones was no social media.
For Amanda or for both of you?
For both of us.
Okay. No social media.
I came off of Facebook for several years, and that is something that she did for me over the summer.
Yeah.
And so that's a recent boundary as of this year.
Yes. And that was hard because it was almost like withdrawal, you know, symptoms, you know, like an addiction and withdrawal, like I can compare it to the medication that I take for my anxiety and depression, that like if I don't take it within 24 hours, I start to get those withdrawal symptoms. And it was very irritable once I had to do it, because it's letting go, it's surrendering. That's probably the biggest.
Okay.
What else?
Well, the evaluation
came out of that. Yes. Currently not drinking.
Tell me a little bit about the alcohol piece and how that kind of falls into this equation.
The alcohol piece. Well, before becoming currently pregnant, I would consider myself a social drinker, and then also a binge drinker on, you know, just maybe for escaping or numbing my feelings. Growing up, I had kind of a pretty party lifestyle from college on.
My guess is there's some sort of a trauma history in your background.
Yes, there's some trauma that I've been through. That I think we've both been through. Yeah, a lot. I mean, hard to say. Like, I don't know. I can only explain it as that I've been through a lot of different situations and circumstances. I'm like that cat with nine lives. Like, I probably should not be here today. If it came down to it, I did want to say that, prior to meeting Tim, like Tim was like my first like monogamous relationship. Before him, it was kind of like, I did whatever I wanted to do. I've had on and off relationships and not too many long-term relationships. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I think you guys are definitely on the right track as far as setting boundaries and changing your lifestyle. I think that the alcohol piece is, it's almost a gift that you're pregnant right now, because it gives you the opportunity to really assess what role did alcohol have in my life and why, and what is it adding to this marriage or taking away from this marriage? I mean, when you already have brain inhibition in some way, shape, or form, and then for those who don't have brain inhibition, it's like alcohol is a depressant that gives you one more thing to add to that pot, you know, one more aspect of inhibition that you probably don't need. And so it's really figuring out, what is the role of alcohol? Why do I need it? What is going on here? What am I numbing with it? And taking the next few months to really take inventory of what that's going to look like in both of your lives as you move forward. I've seen a lot of couples struggling with infidelity. And I would say the majority of the cases, there's some sort of alcohol involved. Some sort of alcohol, because it's an inhibition. It's like all of a sudden I'm uninhibited.
Yeah.
Where I would have been inhibited before, now I'm uninhibited. I'm just going to kind of do things that I normally would have higher judgment. So all of these things are important for you to assess. It's like you're going into the next level of healing, and the next level of healing is going to require more boundaries, but it also gives you more freedom. When you have more boundaries, more protection, and things feel safer, in the end, you actually have more freedom in the relationship. So you guys are kind of on the cusp of something here. It's just a matter of continuing to pursue specifically individual healing and then healing as a couple, which is sounds like the path that you're taking right now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tim, what's something you're afraid of right now? Like, what are you worried about?
Honestly, that these thoughts would come back and they would be acted on again. I mean, that hurt me so much that it was like 1 hour of, she basically, it was like 1 hour of pleasure. And she was willing to do that to throw away the whole marriage. And it's justifying that in my head. And I think that's just what I'm scared of, like that. I ask her a lot. I'm like, do you actually want to be with me? Do you love me? Is this what you want? And that is my deep fear, that she doesn't want to be with me.
And what does she answer when you ask that question?
She does say that she does love me, and she does reassure me that she, you know, she does care about me.
But your fear is that it's going to happen again.
Yes. Just because there's a pattern.
Yeah.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out.
The good news is you're doing things differently. I would say for the first time, you're doing things differently in the sense of you set boundaries that you've never set before. You decided you were going to do things differently this time, Tim, to interrupt the pattern rather than just, okay, let's move on and hope this doesn't happen again. Okay, let's move on and hope this doesn't happen again. Okay, let's move on and hope this doesn't happen again. There comes a point where you have to stop hoping and start doing things differently. And this time around, the difference was, hey, if we're going to make this work, we need one, to you be off social media. Two, a psychological evaluation, right? Three, I would have added no alcohol in the equation. Four, weekly therapy. Five, regular marriage counseling. These are the things that I expect for us to do things differently. We have to do things differently. And that's what you have going for you this time. You're doing things differently. And Amanda, you're willing to do things differently. And I think that's a really big deal, because that's the only way you're going to change. You can't keep doing the same things in the same way. It's like there has to be a time when it gets interrupted and you decide, okay, we've got to start doing it differently. You're working with a new counselor for you as a couple. You got your psych eval and now you have a diagnosis. You're getting new medication that you've probably never been on before, and just starting to really get to the roots of what's going on. And that's how you do things differently. And that fear that you have is normal. It's normal. We can't make that go away. You can't really control that, because that's your body telling you danger, danger, be careful, be careful. But what you do with that fear matters. When you feel afraid, do you run? Do you withdraw? Do you shut down? Do you put your walls up? Or do you come to her and say, hey, I'm struggling. I need you. I need affirmation. I need to know that you're in this. Because you can either use that fear to run, or you can use that fear to connect. And I think it's important that the two of you make it a priority in your week to connect. What is your positive quality connection and intimacy time look like right now in this season of marriage? You're laughing, so it makes me wonder.
I'll let you answer this one.
No, I think he's laughing because you've been sleeping in the other room. He's been sleeping in the spare room because I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock, so I can get my full 8 hours of sleep.
And... which is not a bad thing. Let me pause you right there. You're taking care of your mental health by getting the sleep that you need.
Yeah.
Okay. But part of that has caused an issue because it's like he's sleeping in a different room so that you can get your sleep.
Yes. And he's a night owl. So he likes to go to bed at a later time, and it was causing me to wake up and get disrupted sleep. But no, like the things that we've tried, and it's just that we're not consistent. Like we'll do it, but then we don't follow. Like we're not consistent in the follow through. So we love Dave and Ann Wilson, which they taught us, you know, to pray daily as a couple, date weekly, and then like a yearly trip retreat. As a couple. So we were doing the pray daily, but then that started to fade. And no, he's really improved with communicating with me. And even
never apologize for tears. They are always welcome.
Yes. So it really warms my heart. The fact that, like, if we're struggling, like, he's like, all right, let's stop and pray. And he'll take my hands and he'll pray over the situation. And that's huge. And I don't think I've ever communicated that to him, because I do realize that he should have left me like a long time ago. You know, I think if it was anybody else, they would have been gone by now. But he's shown his forgiveness towards me, his grace and mercy. Sorry. But yeah.
That's beautiful. And it's so important to remember, you know, you said that you don't share that with him. It's important to share that with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to hear it.
You're welcome.
And I want you guys to get good at doing more of that. It's easy to point out everything, especially in this situation. It is easy to point out everything you want to change and tweak and what needs to be fixed. There's a lot that needs to be fixed and altered and changed. But what's good? What is good? What are the good seeds here that you want to keep watering, that you see in one another, that makes this worth fighting for? And there's a lot of good seeds here. You're uprooting the weeds, but at the same time, you want to nourish the good seeds that God has given you. And so right now I'm hearing that intimacy and connection is very minimal. We got to work on that. We can't just have these external boundaries and barriers, especially with an emotional infidelity. All forms of infidelity are a disconnect with either God, self, or others. All forms of addiction, whether it's an emotional addiction, whether it's a sexual addiction, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever, it's fueled by feeling a disconnect with God, self, or others. So those are the three areas we want to adjust. We want to make sure that you are both connecting with God as individuals and as a couple. We want to make sure that you're connecting with self, having a positive view of self, of who you are, of your identity in Christ, of what God has called you to do, of not believing trauma beliefs from your past, but holding on to God's truth. And that There is so much work. I said it so quickly, but that's a whole work in and of itself of dealing with the things from the past and making sure that you're being as healthy as you can be today for yourself. And then healthy connection with one another. You can have all the boundaries in the world, but if you don't have that healthy connection with one another, the boundaries are just for show. So what does it look like for both of you to be intentional? I love the idea of praying every day. I love it. I just don't know that it's practical. I mean, we got four kids and it's like sometimes by the time they all get to bed, it's like, good Lord, nobody talk to me. Like I have nothing left. So practically speaking, one thing that I suggest is a weekly meeting once a week. You can do once a week where you check in and you talk through what you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're struggling with. And specifically in this case, the person who has battled infidelity, the person who has went outside of the boundary, should be the one to start the meeting by talking about how you're doing in that specific area. This is what I have going on this week. I just suggested this in another couple's session, but I'm going to suggest it to you all as well, to have a list of red, green, yellow things that you talk through when it comes to your emotional interactions with the opposite sex. And it sounds like right now there's nothing, but what do you consider the green zone? This is, I said hello to the neighbor and he's a man, right? That would be the green zone, right? Well, what's in the yellow zone? Those are interactions that are a little bit more like in the gray area. Maybe a text that was a little flirtatious, for example. And you look at it and you're like, yeah, that could have been misinterpreted. And we're going to put that in the yellow zone. What's in the red zone of things that are grossly inappropriate? That was definitely crossing a line. And I think it's important for you to look back at the different scenarios that you've been through and talk about, well, what were green zones, yellow zones, red zones? And then in your weekly check-ins, Amanda, you lead the way by saying, hey, I was in the yellow zone this week and I need to talk to you about it. Tim shouldn't have to dig or ask a million questions to figure it out. Part of your check-in is you just to be honest. Or maybe your answer is, hey, I was in the green zone this week and we're good and everything went really well and I don't have anything to report and I honored you this week and we're on the right path, right? Or, hey, I was in the red zone this week and I need to talk to you about something. But that needs to come from you. And the longer you go being able to stay in healthy zones, the less fear you're going to start to feel, Tim, the more distance you're going to create from these hardships that you have been through, the more you uphold your boundaries, going to your appointments, taking your medications, checking in with each other weekly, staying off of social media, finding healthy activities to do together. So the weekly check-in is going to be a big part of this, but not just the weekly check-in. I also want you to make time for some fun. If your weekly check-in is your work night, like you're building intimacy, you're talking about hard things, you're sharing your feelings, you're talking about what God is teaching you, you're praying together. What are you doing just for fun? Just to go on a walk, go grab a coffee. Go on a date. You know, what are you guys doing in your calendar to have fun together? Sometimes we get so fixated on the problems in our relationship that we forget to kind of enjoy the good. And it sounds like you've just kind of come out of a hard season. All the more reason why you need to make time for the good, to remember what it is you're fighting for. What are some ways you can do that?
Probably just as we would schedule the weekly talk, schedule weekly time just for fun. So like Friday night at 7 o'clock, just do that hour, just set that time apart saying we're not doing anything else except for that. And that way we would have it scheduled. We wouldn't have any excuses if we weren't. If something were to come up, we can't plan anything during that time or
like all in the same time?
Yeah, well, I'm for just for our like fun, you know, our fun.
Yeah. Like we like to go out to eat together, go to different restaurants. I know that back in the day, can't remember the name of the book, but they had some ideas like, and we have it, but like doing a Nerf gun battle, just like
fun stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, they're coming home for the day, like as they're walking in the door, you're you know, getting them with the Nerf gun and just to play around like that.
And you do want to get creative because it doesn't always have to be going out.
Yeah.
Right. The other day, my husband and I decided to go just take a walk around the block. We left the kids at home and said, hey, we're going for a walk around the block just to have some time together and talk and decompress. So it's a matter of just finding and prioritizing that time together. Also, with you sleeping in different rooms, we're going to have to figure this out because you're going to have to schedule your intimacy as well. You're going to have to schedule times when maybe there is a night or two of the week that you decide you're not going to have the most amazing sleep, but you're going to be together.
Yeah.
And
well, I did sleep in the room last night.
I did. Yeah, that was nice. I did invite him back in.
Invited him back in. And okay, so something as basic as that, but did you feel more connected in the morning?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and he needed that because it's been a few weeks. It's been probably since around Christmas
since we found out.
3 years, because yeah.
So when you say you invited him in, are you talking about sex or just sleep?
Just sleeping. I tried, but
just sleeping. But even
nausea with the baby. The nausea,
yeah.
But even him being in the same room with you and connecting made a difference, right?
Yeah. I know he needed that. And yeah. It did make a difference.
So these are some things we're going to have to talk through. We can't just wing this. I think the problem is too many couples, we just kind of wing it. Let's just see how it goes. We don't really have a clear plan. But we plan everything else out so well, right? Like if you're on a team and you're trying to win games, you have a plan. You don't just show up to the games and wing it. And it's like, this is such an important part of our life, but we don't map it out. We don't plan it out. How are we actually going to succeed here? And so I want you guys to be able to plan how you're going to succeed and to stick to the plan and talk about it. And you're going to have to tweak it. And that's why these weekly check-ins are important, because sometimes you meet weekly and you realize we got to adjust this plan a little bit. Remember how we talked about Friday nights at 7 doing a date night? It's not working out. Fridays are getting busy. We've got to tweak the plan. The worst thing you can do is just like, whatever, this isn't working. We tried. Okay, let's figure out how to do this differently. And that's exactly what you guys have just done. We're going to start doing it differently. Each time we fail, we decide we got to do it differently, and we do it differently, and we try again. And that's why this is really important. So you're on the right track, and I want to make sure you stay on the right track. You're meeting with one of my counselors. I'm going to continue to check in. I believe I know who it's Lorinda, right? Are you meeting with Lorinda?
Yes.
Phenomenal choice. Yeah. For anyone out there who is like, who do we meet with? Start with Lorinda. She's a great fit. Highly recommend her. Highly recommend her. And I will connect with her. And we're going to make sure that we keep you guys on the right path. How often are you meeting right now to do marriage work with her?
So far, we just had that initial appointment, a session.
Well, what's your plan? Tell me your plan.
Well, we're planning again in February. So.
Okay. So good. For now, I would recommend at least monthly.
Okay.
At least monthly. Have that in the calendar. To just make sure that you keep moving towards the right path. And even if you could squeeze in every other week for a little while, I always start with more and then space it out as time goes on. Once you start sinking into those new patterns, then you don't need to meet as frequently. Oftentimes in the beginning, there's a lot to address and a lot to bring up. And then as time passes, you can kind of space it out a little bit. But that's what I would recommend. And I'm really happy to hear about the boundaries that you've set into place. And I want to just affirm the work that you guys have done. You've done a lot of good work here.
Thank you.
And honestly, marriage is in sickness and in health. And as hard as it can be to struggle with mental illness, you know what? Physical illness can be just as hard and can affect you in so many different ways. But nothing is too hard for God to help you overcome. There is no wall that is too high that He can't help you scale, whether it's mental illness, physical illness, or anything in between. And you guys are living proof of what it looks like to keep going in the face of really hard things. I know of plenty of couples who have navigated some of these same diagnoses, had some really dark times, but got through them and are on the other side of health and healing and consistency. That doesn't mean you're never going to have setbacks, but then you would readdress. You okay, what's the plan? How do we do this differently? How do we do this better? And you just keep getting higher and higher and higher on your journey of healing. So that's what I'm praying for the two of you. You know where to find me if you need me. And we're just going to keep checking in and making sure you stay on the right path.
Sounds good.
Thank you guys so much for sharing your journey with us.
Thank you for allowing us to share this. I think, you know, we just want to be a light to other couples and, you know, just that we all individually have our own story, but then also as couples, marriages, and, you know, yeah. So just to be a light to others.
And if our story could help somebody out there, that's what we want.
That's what we want.
Absolutely, it can. And I think it can just remind people that there are things going on underneath the surface sometimes that we need to address. And that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have mental health struggles. You know, I've had postpartum depression and anxiety. I know what it feels like. You can know every verse in the Bible and still get hit with these crazy chemical and hormonal changes that are outside of your control.
Yeah.
But what is in your control is choosing to tackle it with the right treatment, choosing to get help. Yeah. And that's what you guys are doing right now. And so I know that this is going to make a lot of people realize, you know what, maybe I have more going on underneath the surface than I realized. Maybe I need to get a psychological evaluation. Maybe I need to set a boundary for my spouse that they need to get a psychological evaluation. We have to do things differently if we want to heal, if we want a different outcome. So I think I thank you for modeling that. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in your marriage and through each of you as individuals as well.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thanks for joining me. You all take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I talked with Tim a little bit at the end of our episode about the concept of rebuilding trust. How do I build trust when I've been hurt? And one thing that I told him was that the only two ways that you can build trust is with time and consistency. Trust is like a chain of links. And if you take one link out, or you take 100 links out, the chain is still broken and you've got to work hard to rebuild that chain, to rebuild that trust. So whenever you start to feel those trust issues creep up, what do you do with them? And that's exactly what I asked him. What do you do with those trust issues when they come up? And he said, you know, oftentimes I'll just put myself into work. I'll try to distract myself when I'm feeling those issues. But here's the thing. Those trust struggles, those insecurities are a signal. And yeah, you can take that signal and try to stuff it away with work, try to numb it, try to repress it and ignore it. Or you can take that signal and bring it to the person who you're struggling with. Bring your trust issues to the only person that can help you with your trust issues, which is the partner. who broke your trust. I encouraged Tim to go to Amanda and let her know when he's struggling. Hey, I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling like I'm not good enough for you. I'm worried that you're going to leave me. I'm having these feelings come to the surface and I need your help. I need your affirmation. I need your encouragement. And Amanda agreed that when he would bring those trust issues to her, she agreed to meet him there and affirm him and remind him that she's committed to him. And I want to encourage you to do the same. When you've got trust issues that sneak up in your relationship and you're in the process of rebuilding trust with your spouse, what do you do with that signal? Do you shove it away and withdraw, or do you bring that signal to your partner and let them know what you need? That requires vulnerability, and I know it's really hard for us to be vulnerable when we've been hurt. But we can either continue to build walls around our heart, or we can take those walls down little by little in the process of repairing trust. You know, believe it or not, it takes two people to repair trust. It takes consistency and time on Amanda's part, but it takes vulnerability on Tim's part. And when you put those two things together, that is exactly how you begin to rebuild trust. I'm praying that over you, those of you listening who are in the process of rebuilding trust, that you would have the courage to be vulnerable. And with time and consistency, that you would be able to get your relationship back on the right track. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, deborahfalada.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.